And so, thinking back to when you were young, and you mentioned the winters and how cold that could be when you were in
Oh, yes.
your
Well, see, nobody had heat pumps or anything like that. And we all had to, and insulation was sort of a dim memory, I think. So I do remember it being absolutely freezing. And it seemed to be that, I don't know whether the climate's changed or I just got older, but we used to just have endless months of grey, windy weather, it seemed, and it was always freezing cold. And I always remember getting all my clothes under my blankets in the morning and getting dressed under the blankets because it was too freezing to get out of bed, or getting dressed in front of the 2-bar heater sort of thing, and then bundling up and shooting off. What we used to, the neighbours sometimes would take us to school if it was pouring with rain and what have you, but if it wasn't raining, you'd be on your bike or you're on your horse or walking or something. And you know, no one was overweight in those days. All the kids were fit because they never sat down. They're always running and climbing trees and things. But yeah, it did seem to be awfully cold for a very long time. And I don't know, as I say, I think the climate definitely has changed in Wellington. It's a lot sunnier than it ever used to be. But yes, it used to be endless grey, cold, cloudy, windy weather, it seems, those winters. And the schools, obviously, once they were built, were warm. The old,
They have the fire
the
and the
original school, yeah, the big had a big fireplace with sort of bars all around it, and so that got stoked up before we got there. So it was always warm, warm in the classrooms, and of course we had our own desks in those days. And I'm with my son now; they don't, no one has any desks. They all just sort of sit on the floor and communal desks. And we always had, you know, the lift-up desks with the ink wells. We didn't obviously have ink in those, but we had our biros. But we all had to keep our desk tidy. We'd have desk inspections, and so it was always a matter of pride about how tidy your desk was and underneath the, you know, the thing. And of course, my teacher was the same teacher right through from Primer 1 to Standard 2. It was Mr. the Golders, and they were here for many years. And really, I think, you know, they were extraordinary teachers in a lot of ways. And you had to be pretty strong-minded to be in a community like this. And they were, and they were very good disciplinarians. We had the strap in those days, which was a metal, not a metal, a leather, a thick leather strap basically. So the whole school got the strap one day. It was on the hands, but I do think there was a few on the old behinds. I can remember a few. There was a few young boys that were regular strappers. But yes, I think the whole school ended up doing something. I can't remember what it was, but the entire school lined up with their hands out to get the strap one day.
And what was the word amongst the kids that day?
Oh, I don't know what we all did. I think we all hid in the bike sheds or I don't know what it was. But there was no smoking or anything like that then. It was just, I just mischief, you know. Kids always get up for mischief. I can do remember the whole school getting the strap. And I do remember the school centenary too, which was about, I think, 1972. That was a whole week of celebrations. We all got dressed up in period costume, and the whole school walked across the old coach road. That was one of the things we did. And then I think we had an open day where people were spinning and making butter and all that sort of thing. We did a lot of old-fashioned school singing, and then we had a big reunion, I think, of a lot of the previous students, because the school wasn't 100 years in that particular site. It had come from some other place, but it was 100 years of schooling in the valley. And of course, the church is also well over 100 years. I can remember that centenary as well. So there's a lot of history in the area. And of course, there's some very large farming families, like the Bryants and the Bests. They are some of the more original people. And I think you're going to be talking to some of those people. So it was a wonderful community to grow up in, a true farming community. But look, 20 minutes, well, in those days, more like half an hour, three quarters of an hour to get to town. So you could go to town to the movies or whatever, but you were very much in a rural, not only environmentally rural with the hills and the space and what have you, but also very much a rural community atmosphere where people help each other, that type of thing. And of course, the focus now has changed considerably, and certainly with the last few years with the wind farms, has completely divided the community. And it's really very sad to see the degeneration of those very strong community ties. And I can only hope that, you know, time will perhaps, I don't know, heal those. The Guild is staying very strong and trying to remain, it's certainly as neutral as possible. It's a neutral ground, and that's where where I'm putting my energies, is to create that, keep the community spirit going through the neutrality of the Hairy Ladies Guild, which has got a huge membership, and it's going really, it's really strong. And it's actually lots of fun. I know one woman said, look, one meeting, she said, look, I had four things to go to tonight and I chose the Guild. That's how much fun it is. And yeah, it's great. You get together, you're there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, you have a chat, have some focus, and then we'll go back. And then we have, of course, our famous Christmas parties, the Guild Christmas parties. In the last few years, there's always been a tradition in the Guild Christmas party to put on some form of skit. And it usually only used to be sort of...
And this goes back right...
Goes right back. And there was all sorts of things from operations behind sheets, you know, backlit with sausages coming out of bodies and great, you know... clippers and knives and things. I actually I vividly remember that in my mum's house years ago as a very young child, watching, creeping out from the bedroom and sitting there watching this amazing operation taking place. And there was always sort of some song or dance routine, but in the last few years we've sort of, it died out for a little while because the older women lost interest, and it's a bit of work to get together. In fact, one memorable one was when some of the men did one of the skits, and they were the cygnets out of Swan Lake. So you had these four large, varying sizes, very hairy, some rotund, very tall, very short, all dressed in tutus, doing a perfect rendition of the and absolutely crazy. And that still goes down in Valley lore as being folklore. Very, very spectacular that was.
So the men were very keen to be involved.
They were very keen to be involved, yes. And in the last 2 to 3 years, it's been very much revived, and it's turned into a whole hour and a bit long now, so it comes to production. So all men, for some reason, love dressing up as women or being silly. Most men do. And so, yes, they are truly memorable now. And we have, I think, the most fun, as everyone admits, is actually the practices beforehand. So, now we've had a Harry Idol. That was last year's. We had some filming. So it's all very, very fun. So if you do have time around Christmas, first Wednesday of December, you must come to it. Because
it's when it happens.
Absolute riot. Absolute classic.
Has it always been the first Wednesday in December?
Well, it's always the first Wednesday of the month,
right?
As the Guild meeting, so yep. we keep yesterday, Wednesday. Why Wednesday? It's kind of crazy, but we've got to keep to tradition.